Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here. It is Thursday, October 7th. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. And we have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Once again, for some reason, I am unable to get into the Justin chat room, but the TV is running. I am told that everybody else can see the Justin chat room. Why I can't, I don't know. Justin TV says it is a known issue and they're working on fixing it. The chat over on What Really Happened is working and I can get in there and be mean to people as I see fit. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I want to start out with this news announcement. Everybody is kind of going ballistic over, you know, Barack Obama finally shows some spine and he's taking care of the people, because for the first time in his entire presidency, he's going to exercise his veto against House Resolution 3808. And we talked about this briefly yesterday. This was the mortgage foreclosure documentation bill. This was a law that had gone right through the House without even any debate. Just put on the floor, voted, went right through. And it's a bill that would have allowed banks to foreclose on the homes even if they don't actually have the documentation. They don't have the title, they don't have any of the paperwork. Just go ahead and seize the house. And this angered a lot of people, as well it should, and maybe that was the intention. So before we all start applauding Barack Obama for vetoing this, I want to share a little story with you, and it has to do with a young lady by the name of Coco Chanel. Now, Coco Chanel is famous for the Chanel line of perfumes, Chanel number 5. But before she made perfumes, she was a milliner in Paris. She designed ladies' hats, and she basically, her clientele were the cream of Parisian high society, and they all wanted a unique hat just for themselves. They didn't want to buy a hat that everybody else was wearing. So Coco Chanel became famous initially designing unique hats for each of the women who came to her store. And she had this little practice that she would do. Coco Chanel, before she would show the creation to the client, she'd stick a bright orange garish feather right in the middle of it, because she knew that the client was going to want to come in and make changes, in order to basically say, hey, I helped design it, I am in charge, I am the nobility, you know, I have the right to say what is good and is not. And Coco just didn't want to deal with people who would come in and make gratuitous changes to what Coco thought was the perfect design that she wanted. So she'd stick this orange feather in there. And the client would come in and say, oh, I love the hat, but you know something, that orange feather just doesn't feel right. And Coco Chanel would say, Madame is absolutely correct, and she'd reach over and she'd pluck the feather out and make a great show of flinging it onto the floor or into the trash can or wherever. And the whole point, you know, and then the client would take the hat, put it on, and leave happy, and Coco was happy because the hat was as she wanted it to be. The orange feather was there for no other reason than to give Coco Chanel something she could pull out and discard before the client. And I think that's what this bill is. House Resolution 3808 sailed through Congress without any debate at all. It is clearly an onerous piece of abusive legislation that did indeed arouse the public anger. And I think that's what it was planned to do. Because now Barack Obama has, just before the election, a bright orange feather he can pluck out and discard before the eyes of the voting public to reassure the gullible that they have the semblance of controlling what goes on in America. It's a fraud. H.R. 3808 was sent through Congress for no other reason than to give Barack Obama something that he could veto going into the November elections. It's another political stunt. Don't fall for it. It's Coco Chanel's orange feather all over again. All right, so we're coming to the end of this first segment here. We're going to be going to a commercial break. 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the sudden waving around of flying saucers and UFOs and a video that came out of China that may explain what's going on. We'll be right back.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education?
Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
When all this twist is steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I want to talk about this this current UFO promotion. I think that's probably a good word for it. You know, we're being promoted to see alien UFOs and flying saucers and all the rest of the stuff out there. And I've been doing a little bit of digging into the subject, and I went over to YouTube, and this was triggered by the report that an airport in China had basically scrambled because a UFO went overhead. And I went searching for the videos that were reported to be taken of it, and I found a whole slew of obviously fake videos showing this disc with lights around the rim. In fact, it's the same one being repeated over and over again and just poured onto YouTube. But I finally tracked down a couple of videos of what was actually seen in the sky. And I've got them posted to the front page of What Really Happened. And I've worked, you know, basically in Southern California, I used to see what were called sounding rockets, high atmospheric testing rockets, going up from Vandenberg and the cloud patterns they would make. I have seen rockets in flight in the upper atmosphere. I used to work for NASA before I was in the film industry, and so I'm very familiar with what's going on here. What these videos appear to be showing is some kind of experimental hypersonic aircraft traveling horizontally through the atmosphere. It is flying high enough to still be in sunlight, which is why the tail seems to be glowing brightly when seen from the ground. Now, if you look carefully at the exhaust plume coming out of it, it is spreading out wide, 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 which indicates this thing is very high up in the atmosphere. On one of the videos, actually on both of the videos, the plume can be seen to have a parabolic shape. So it's still within the atmosphere, but it's very, very high up. There appears to be some kind of a staging sequence somewhere in there. And in the second video that I put up, there is one place where the plume goes from being parabolic to a true cone shape, which tells us whatever it is, it's actually gone, at least temporarily, out of the atmosphere. This is very reminiscent of a project that was much rumored called Aurora. It was being tested in the United States back in the late 80s, 1990s. And it sort of adopted the same concept as the early B-52-X-15 pairing, and then later on scaled composites with Spaceship One. You have a very powerful craft that can fly up to the top of the atmosphere, carrying with it, piggy bank, a smaller aircraft that is designed primarily to skip along the top of the atmosphere and operate out in space. And this was what Aurora was thought to have been. And I was living in Southern California during the period of the so-called Aurora quakes, which were these sonic booms that were rattling the entire Southland, and the government kept saying, nope, not us. And then a bunch of college students set up microphones and very precise clocks to basically track the shockwave and confirm that it was a vehicle flying back onto Groom Lake out in Nevada. So, you know, the jig was sort of up on that whole situation. But looking at these videos, it's very clear that we're seeing something that is of Earth technology, very cutting edge, very advanced. But it is Earth technology. It's not something that's coming down to visit us from another planet, and it's not a disc with lights all around it. So I'm more and more leaning to the idea that this fascination with UFOs and stuff we're seeing in the media is once again an attempt to obfuscate and cover up the testing of some kind of aircraft. Now, whose is it? Okay? Because to be very honest, the fact that this thing was flying up in the sunlight over a city tells me almost that somebody wanted this to be seen. Now, is this consistent with this idea that the UN is going to try and use aliens and spaceships to scare us all into global government? Maybe, maybe not. There's a couple of different explanations here. Now, these things are being seen over basically the China-Mongolia region. So, could be Chinese testing, could be Russian testing. And frankly, if China or Russia has succeeded in building this kind of a deployable high atmospheric hypersonic craft, then World War III is already over and we did not win it. There is another possibility. Remember that just before 9/11 and we launched onto this period of endless warfare, some $3 trillion went missing from the Pentagon. And $3 trillion is a lot of money, even for corruption on the scale of the Pentagon. And so it may be that what we are seeing is what that $3 trillion bought. Maybe they brought back and improved the Aurora. And they're skipping it across the sky over Russia and China to send a message. We can go wherever we want, and you can't stop us. Which is what Francis Gary Powers thought was true just before he got shot down. And, you know, we know that the SR-71, which was, you know, an amazing piece of machinery, and it still looks like it's 20 years into the future, and yet this is 1970s is when this thing was being built. So maybe the U.S. brought back Aurora and they've weaponized it, and they're basically sending a message that they can fly anywhere on planet Earth in the space of 8 to 10 hours and drop a bomb on somebody, and they cannot be stopped. And that may be the reason this was being flown over a city where it was going to be seen. Because normally these kinds of high atmospheric tests are done over deserts or oceans where there are going to be very few people to see them, or out in the middle of Nevada where, you know, some lone truck driver sees it and starts like, oh, it's a flying saucer with aliens and they kidnapped me and did weird experiments on me. And hence nobody will pay attention to it. But it almost seems like where this was carried out, somebody wanted to attract attention to it for some reason. But of one thing I am sure, this is very terrestrial technology. It's very advanced technology, and as an aviation enthusiast, I would love to know exactly what it is that's up there, but I have no doubt that it is the product of human technology, and for what purpose it exists, well, you know, what is our most advanced technology always existed for? To kill each other, and I think that's kind of where, you know, this is going. This appears to be a system designed to be able to fly anywhere on Earth in a very short period of time and drop things that explode onto other people without being stopped. If this is an American vehicle, and the Chinese and Russian radar are unable to detect it, which is entirely possible, you know, that is definitely a significant message. And so what we need to do is watch how China and Russia start to react to American aggressions in the Mideast from this point forward. If China and Russia back off, then these overflights were a message, and they got the message. If they don't back off, if they start standing up to the United States, then whatever this vehicle is, it's either Russian or Chinese, and they know they've now got the Trump card over the United States. So by their actions, we will be able to determine what's going on. We have a caller on the line, Joe in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine.
Good. I just like to say I have the utmost respect for you, and I woke up to the New World Order basically in early 06. And I'd first heard of you on the Alex Jones show back then, and I pretty much agreed with everything that you said pertaining to the New World Order and everything. And I'm just really confused as to the rift that's kind of, you know, built up between you and Alex Jones over the last couple of months, you know, pertaining to the Israel thing and the Zionism thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could sort of elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, you know, you basically summarized it, you know, quite well. Alex and I have very different points of view regarding Israel. And the rift began when I was critical of Israel for their attack on the International Aid Flotilla last May. And now, of course, that the United Nations Human Rights Council has basically come out saying exactly what I was saying back then. It was a violation of international law in support of a blockade that is itself a violation of international law. Israel committed an act of piracy, to be generous, or an act of war, to be honest, on a U.S. flagged ship, American citizens, one of whom was murdered in cold blood, lying on the deck, shot in the face at point-blank range. And that's also confirmed by the United Nations report. And so I basically said, Israel is in the wrong here. And then Alex Jones came back, and he had a pro-Israel spokesman on the next day to basically ridicule everything that I'd said. And ultimately, the decision to leave GCN, I made that decision, was my choice, by the way, just to clear that up. I made the choice that I needed to leave GCN because Alex Jones had gone public saying that anybody who criticized Israel was being a weak-minded fool. And basically, that was a personal attack on me. And so I decided I wasn't going to stick around until Alex found some reason to rinse me. And, you know, I basically left, and I'm over here at Republic Broadcasting. But the bottom line is, you know, history in the United Nations have basically confirmed my point of view was the accurate one. To the best of my knowledge, Alex Jones still has yet to seriously address the United Nations Human Rights Council report.
Well, you and I both know that Alex has been pretty much against the United Nations. I mean, from his inception, from his becoming a popular figure in the truth movement, and I totally 100% agree with you about Israel being totally in the wrong, and Palestine is totally oppressed, and there's no question about that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
on my end, and I also wish that he would come out more towards that end, and I think that he should have, but
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I don't think that he was launching a personal attack against you. And I think that you're sort of taking it out of context whenever you say that anybody that criticizes Israel is
Alex was engaging in Kill the Messenger, because every time that I was on his show and talking to him and I would present the facts, he didn't want to deal with the facts. He basically would pull back and he'd start engaging in these kind of ad hominem attacks, which is exactly what he said when he accused critics of Israel of being weak-minded fools. He's not saying that what we're saying is wrong. He is not refuting the allegations of Israel's behavior. He's basically saying, you know, you're crazy to even try. Thanks a lot for the call, Joe. We're going to let you go. When we come back, we'll be talking with Andrea and Patrick. We'll be right back. Thank you.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Attention all business owners, save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences, it's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go back to the phones. Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, aloha. I have a couple of points. The first one, before I get to my main point, is ABC ran last night the people that are running for the Republican Party, and Ron Paul is on that ticket. Of course, they only have him at a 7%, I guess, for people wanting him to be running. But I'm going to vote for Ron Paul.
You're talking about 2012 to run him for president?
No. Yes, I take that back. Correct. You are right.
Okay, now, he can be on the ticket. The question is whether he'll survive the chicanery during the primary process. As we saw in 2008, between the vote fraud and the media shutting him out completely, he was handed his hat before he even got into the ring here, so to mix my metaphors.
Well, if we all get behind him and throw all our change and anything that we've got into his party and support him, maybe he stands a better chance. But getting
I wish that were true. I wish that were true. But, I mean, going into 2008, Ron Paul had more grassroots support than any other candidate running on the GOP platform. And it still didn't do any good because the corporate money went the other direction and the media decided, no, we can't let this guy run for the White House. My goodness, if he became president, he'd actually take care of the American people. And then we'd all be toast. And I'm sorry, I'd love to live in a country where the American people could stand up and make Ron Paul president. okay? But we saw in 2008, we never get to actually vote for anybody who has not already sold out to corporate and Israeli interests. And until we have the U.S. government collapse and we can rebuild a new one from scratch with some better safeguards in it, you know, I don't see that changing peacefully.
Well, the main reason why I called was that this is a question, and I think I'm correct on it, that President Clinton sold the secret on interballistic missiles to the Chinese, besides renting out the Lincoln suite all the time to him. But they also showed that Obama was going to have Hillary Clinton run as vice president in 2012. But isn't that correct? Because they didn't have the capability of the interballistic missile for space or for hitting our country at that time back in the 90s.
Okay, you're right. Basically, this went through something called the Loral Corporation, which gave China technology to make their intercontinental ballistic missiles stage correctly. They were having a problem with the missiles coming apart, and the upper stages would then tumble out of control. I believe China also got hold of a copy of the blueprints of the W-99 MIRV warhead design, and it was a huge scandal at the time because everybody, we were all supposed to be buddy-buddy with China, and they were buying up our debt left and right, and then all of a sudden we find out that China has acquired the technology from the United States to attack the United States, and the proceeds from that, you know, went into to the pockets of the Clintons. And, yeah, it was a big scandal back then. I know I've got some stuff about it on the What Really Happened website, and I'll make a point of digging it out and posting it at the end of the show. Now, as far as Hillary running as vice president in 2012, I believe she has already come out with a statement that she would not take the number two position. She wants that center seat. When Bill Clinton was president and he was out of town, Hillary would use the Oval Office as her own personal office. That's how much she wants it. And in any event, Obama would have to be out of his mind to have Hillary as a vice president, because it's a guarantee that a crazed, low-nut assassin, you know, patent-pending, you know, Rose Law Firm or whatever, something bad would happen to them, to him. I mean, my advice for anybody who wants to partner with Hillary Clinton, two words, Vincent Foster. So, but anyway, she said, you know, she doesn't want to be riding his ticket. I think from Hillary's point of view, she's convinced that he's not going to get the nomination in 2012. I think she's going to go up against him at the Democratic convention in 2012 and say, Obama will not win a second term from the American people, which I think is definitely guaranteed. And she's going to say, you better run me or the GOP will have the White House again, which I think they will anyway if Hillary runs. But she's definitely going into 2012. I have to be honest, she's more electable than Obama right now.
All right, well, those were my points. I don't like the Clintons. I think they're evil and wicked. And then to top it, they cleaned out the White House, taking all the furniture with them to their house. But, I mean, that's just the kind of people they are.
Well, actually, every president, you know, they sort of, like, loot the place on their way out. And when Richard Nixon had to step down from being vice president, he emptied out the vice president's mansion, and he gave my grandmother this lamp with an this amethyst crystal base on it that she absolutely loved because the vice president gave it to me and everything. So that's hardly unique to the Clintons. It's hardly unique to the Clintons. And again, look at the kind of people we seem to elect to office. Okay, we're going to switch over to Patrick in Florida. Aloha, Patrick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Patrick, are you there?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. What's on your mind today?
Okay, Mike. I was talking about, I was wondering about you know, scientists create these animals in a laboratory with the jellyfish and the cats, and they make glow-in-the-dark animals and the spider goats and all that. I was just wondering what kind of horrific creature they would create and roll it out in front of the cameras and say it's an alien from another planet.
Well, if they can get it to work, you know, I mean, genetic technology is definitely out there. And, you know, could they do a hoax? Yeah. Outer Limits actually used that as a storyline in 1963. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I want to step back just a little bit to House Resolution 3808, because what we're seeing is this, you know, this big huzzah through the Democratic National Party that Obama has finally developed a spine and he's going to stand up to the bankers with this by vetoing this bill. Now, understand something very clearly. When Obama vetoes the bill, nothing will change. The bankers are still going to be doing what they're doing right now. This is a no. This is a push. It's not actually changing anything in your life. It is a staged incident so that Obama has the semblance of looking like he's trying to take care of the American people ahead of the election. But nothing's actually changing. Now, contrast that with a letter from Representative Alan Grayson to Secretary Geithner, and basically other members within the economic hierarchy and rulership, in which he's basically saying exactly what I was saying on the show yesterday. The time has come for a freeze on all foreclosures everywhere in the country until this mess about missing paperwork and bundled mortgages and the rest of it can be sorted out. And Grayson is not getting the news coverage that Obama's potential veto of H.R. 3808 is getting. Why? Because if Grayson were to pull this off, the bankers would be in a total panic. Because the way the law is written, they make more money when they foreclose a property. What Grayson is saying is, you're not allowed to take people's homes and loot them of their wealth at will anymore. Things like that get politicians shot throughout history. You know, Lincoln, Kennedy, they tried to do it with Jackson, didn't work out. But the point is, when you become a perceived threat to the money, those money addicts, they're crazy people. They'll do anything to get that next fix, you know, get that big IV bottle full of gold coins and the needle in the arm dripping in there and going, yeah, you know, I'm alive, I'm alive. And so it kind of indicates where the perceptual bias is going, because here we have Barack Obama basically changing nothing with this veto of H.R. 3808, and he's getting all this positive press out there. What a great president he's turning out to be. And you have Representative Grayson, who actually is talking about something that needs to be done. And he's basically being sort of, we'll talk to you later, off to one side. But Grayson is absolutely right. The time has come for a freeze on all foreclosure processing in the United States of America until all the paperwork can be sorted out. And we shouldn't let this obvious fraud of creating H.R. 3808, which is simply, you know, amplifying the abuses a little bit more, only to have Obama veto it and look like a hero. That's all it is. It's a fraud. It's Coco Chanel's orange feather. It's time for something to actually be done for the American people. And a freeze on all foreclosures would do that. It's a first step. It's an immediate step. It's going to start solving some problems out there. It's going to make the money addicts very, very unhappy. Too darn bad. It's time for an intervention. Everyone talks about the damage to society from heroin addicts, cocaine addicts, meth heads, alcohol addicts. Addictive behavior in general is destructive of the individuals and the society around it. And yet, money addiction, which causes far more demonstrable harm than any other kind, is applauded in our society. It is honored. Wow, look how much money that person sucked out of the society. I have never seen such a high pile of pretty printed pieces of paper. Aren't they great? So, I think it's time for an intervention. Because I don't have a problem with anybody working to become comfortable and wealthy. What I have a problem with is a system set up to simply suck the wealth out of the people automatically and put it in the pockets of the bankers, which is exactly what the Federal Reserve was set up to do. The owners of the Federal Reserve do not work for that money. They do not earn it. They have simply gamed the system and bribed the government of the United States to sell you into slavery, which is exactly what it is, with these little pretty printed pieces of paper. And the system, by the nature of its design, takes wealth from you and gives it to them, and they don't have to work for it. And they think this is the way the universe is supposed to be. Whatever gods they worship and sacrifice to say, yes, you're supposed to set up the world so that, you know, 5 million people are working in poverty and starvation, and you get to live in palaces of solid gold. And they truly believe this. And it's time for an intervention. It absolutely is a time for intervention here. The census data is continuing to come out. Poverty is climbing. The middle class is disappearing in this country by design. And it makes sense. The middle class is where what little remains of money in our society is to be found. They're not going to go robbing and plundering the poor. The poor don't have anything left. You don't get any money out of homeless people. You go after the people who still have their homes, and you take their homes, and that's what's going on. You know, it's like sort of a very sick, twisted Robin Hood. We rob from the rich because the poor don't have anything. And we have the very, very rich robbing the lesser rich. And that little demarcation line of poverty is moving higher and higher in our society because everything below it is collapsing. The middle class needs to understand that if they don't start supporting the Patriot movement, they're next. The middle class is specifically being targeted because every dictatorship and tyranny in history has to get rid of the middle class, because it is from the middle class that opposition to oligarchy and tyranny arises. French Revolution came from the middle class. Russian Revolution came from the middle class, educated people. American Revolution came from the middle class. The Soviet Union created a society where there was no middle class right from the start, and so everybody had to wait and suffer until the Soviet Union simply collapsed. Obama is now targeting the middle class in this country on his way to a new fascist economic state. And he's already there. And if you are okay with that, then fine. Shovel your money at the government and your children's lives into the wars in the Mideast, and all will be well. But if you want to hang on to that which you earned and created with your own labor, you better understand the government is not your friend here. And if you don't believe me, you wait till January 1, 2011, when all of us get hit with the largest single tax increase in American history. And that's not even counting the carbon tax, which I guarantee you, once the election is over next month, Obama's going to come back and he's going to try and shove that down your throat, because they need the money. And in the government's eyes, they need the money more than you do. And making another several million Americans homeless is a small price to pay to keep the Federal Reserve Bank happy and the account still in the black. We're going to go back to the phones. Larry in Louisiana. Aloha, Larry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, yeah. You stated, I believe, that pretty much all of the cutting-edge technologies have a military mission.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you, what was the military mission on the moonwalks? And is the moon weaponizable? And you remember that Russian general that way back stated they want to put hydrogen bombs on the moon?
Yeah, that was a big part of the push into space, was the concern that it was going to be militarized. And they were talking about orbital platforms. And you need to remember that both in the United States and in Russia, the early manned space program was using rockets that were built to fling nuclear bombs around the world. It wasn't until we got to the Saturn series of rockets in Apollo that we started using rockets that were specifically designed for space travel and not for killing other people's cities. So, you know, the Apollo moonwalks were the peaceful face of a program that did have significant military application. But a lot of what they were using was coming out of the military. The technology flow was actually going the other direction. Because in this country, there's sort of been this understanding that the military keeps itself about 10 to 15 years ahead of the civilian technology. And it's only when the military are kind of done with it and moved on to something else that it's allowed to leak into the American public. And I'll give you a very good example of that. This millimeter wave technology that they're using to look at us naked at the airports has actually been around since the mid-1980s. It was developed as a follow-on to thermographic and infrared vision systems. And once that submillimeter technology came around, that's when you saw the surplus night vision and thermographs start to show up on eBay and everything, because they didn't want them anymore. Now, obviously, they're onto something else, and this technology is leaking downward. Most people don't realize just how much of our lives are dominated by technology created for the military. Teflon, that coating in your kitchenware, the anti-stick coating, was actually developed for uranium centrifuges during the Manhattan Project, because uranium hexafluoride is highly corrosive. And so they invented this coating to prevent the uranium centrifuges from being dissolved by the uranium hexafluoride. And somebody said, when I get out of the military, I'm going to invent some cookware that has that on there, because, you know, that's really kind of cool. Same thing with Pyrex cookware. Actually began as an attempt to create battery jars that wouldn't break under extreme battlefield conditions of heat and cold. And, you know, a lot of that technology fallout comes from it. When they built the Hubble Space Telescope, they were mostly adapting technology that came out of the CIA's keyhole satellites, and so forth and so on. Okay?
I called up Palomar Observatory there one time, mm-hmm. and I asked them if they could turn, and they let me talk to the guy looking through the telescope. Mm-hmm. And I said, can you turn your telescope onto the moon and get a picture of the things that are setting on the moon? He said he could only see so many arc seconds, and it was too small, but if you took three electronic telescopes and made an interferometer, you could get perfect pictures of that stuff. Why
interferometer?
Why haven't we seen images of the greatest thing that man's ever done walking on the moon since the time that it happened?
Well, you're not paying attention, because the Japanese Selene satellite that's been orbiting the moon now for close to a year has been sending back quite a few photos of the Apollo landing sites. And you can see the descent stages and the lunar roving vehicles, and you can even see the soil disturbance where the astronauts were walking around. So, I mean, that's been documented there. And, of course, The idea, you know, for years, anybody who wanted to could detect the laser-ranging retroreflectors on the moon with a simple laser experiment, which Mythbusters actually did that on one of their episodes, and I used to do it all the time over at the Table Mountain Observatory.
Okay, good. Now, could you is the moon weaponizable? Could and you know, you're always talking about the kings of the world. The dog that held the top key that held all life to the earth in its one key would be the top dog of the world. You wouldn't want to mess with that guy. Is it weaponizable?
I don't think it's really practical. I think the weaponization concepts are basically at the top of the atmosphere and extending up for a couple of hundred miles. There are military applications out at geosynchronous in terms of surveillance and communication. You know, the original, what we now call GPS originally began with a classified military program called Navstar. When GPS was first created, there was a civilian version and a military version. The civilian version was deliberately inaccurized. You know, to basically so that we can't find our positions as accurately as the military can. So most of the military applications are a little bit closer to Earth. The moon was kind of seen as a symbolic victory and target that, you know, we got there before the Russians and so forth and so on. But there's definitely no question that all of this technology has military applications, and I have no doubt that that aircraft or spacecraft that is, you know, leaving those trails over China right now is a military vehicle intended to send a message to somebody.
Okay, well, you remember the gold shield over their face shields? They had to have a gold shield to keep the radiation from outer space from damaging their eyes.
Well, that was part of the reason for it. Basically, it was a form of sunglass, and the gold plating was considered the most efficient way to make sure it stuck to the Lexan.
Okay, well, they told Walter Cronkite it was about radiation from, you know, that we have are shielded from here on the Earth. Now, the things that stayed on the moon, the bottom of the limbs with the legs on it, had gold shielding around them. I wonder what on there was so sensitive that they had to keep it shielded from the radiation from space.
Well, basically, any of the fine electronics needed to be shielded from it. You know, cosmic rays coming on through, which even still hit the ground here on Earth, but they can affect electronics. Mostly, it's even about keeping static out. If you ever go out to, like, the Goldstone Deep Space Tracking Network and you look at their very sensitive radio gear there, you'll find that all of the key components are inside gold shielding to save it from radio waves, not necessarily hard radiation. And the reason is very simple. These spacecraft that go out into the solar system, they're not very powerful transmitters. When we sent, you know, the transmitter on the moon from Apollo was about the same strength as your high-end, slightly illegal trucker's CB radio. And that's why we needed big antennas back on this side to pick up the signal. And part of being able to hear and see all the stuff that was going out there on low power, because they didn't have a lot of electricity to play with, as you remember from the Apollo 13 situation, they had to shield everything to keep static from the sun and from Jupiter, especially from simply overwhelming the circuitry so that they couldn't hear what was going on.
Okay. Now, I know you've seen the NASA Moonwalk Simulation Project.
Which one is that? You mean the one in the airplane?
The one where they have a scene that they're walking on the moon, he's stepping down off the limb, and the light bar falls off the ceiling. And,
oh, that's somebody's idea of a joke.
Oh, okay, that's all. That's not NASA footage.
No, that's not NASA footage. It's somebody's idea of a joke.
Okay, so that's all been just manipulated.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, you have to understand this Apollo moon hoax stuff is put out there on the internet by the government for the same reason they're going out there and saying there was no plane that hit the Pentagon. They're desperate to find something to make the internet and the alternative media look stupid and silly so that people will go back to the TV networks and for their daily dose of propaganda.
I understand what you're saying. Perhaps, now, just perhaps, let me just say this. They want to confuse the population that they really didn't walk on the moon, so nobody...
All right, thank you very much for the phone call, Larry, and we're going to let you go at this point, all right? Because I tried to sort of go along with your questions, you know, and you're not listening to the answers. You come out and say, nobody's taking pictures of the Apollo landing sites. Yeah, they have, Larry. Been out for a couple of years now, okay? And you go on, and you talk about all the things that you can do, like the laser-ranging retroreflector, to prove that they're up there, and Larry's not interested in listening. He's out here to push his little propaganda because the government is desperate to make the alternative media look bad. The government cannot win back the trust of the American people. It's gone for at least another 50 years. All the government can think of doing is, well, let's go make the other media look really, really bad. And I know why they're doing this, because of that embarrassing thing Fox and Friends did on Tuesday, where they carried as straight news this hoax story about the government buying jetpacks for the police and fire in Los Angeles. So that's what's going on here, and I'm not going to play along with that anymore. This is a, you know, this is a show that deals with political realities. We don't do Bigfoot. We don't do the Loch Ness Monster. We don't do space aliens kidnapping truck drivers off of Route 66 for weird sexual experimentation. Okay? We're in the real world on this show. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far a 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. I want to talk briefly, since we only have a few minutes before the top of the hour, about this situation where Barack Obama is out there once again making a speech. That seems to be the only thing he actually does anymore these days. He goes out there and talks about hope and change and all these other little wonderful things and glimmers of green shoots at the end of the tunnel or whatever other euphemism he has for, I don't know what's going on. And, you know, he's talking about, you know, we're going to plan and we're going to reorganize. You know, he's 2 years into the job, and he's telling us he still doesn't know what he's doing. But he had this little situation the other day where he's talking at this podium, and all of a sudden, the presidential seal falls off the front of the podium. And a lot of people just, oh, that's so wonderfully symbolic. You know, the eagle is flying, and so forth and so on. And normally, I wouldn't have bothered with this thing, and I will admit, his grace under pressure of cracking that joke about, you all know who I am, right? Okay. That I thought was elegant, and he should have quit there. But he didn't, and I put the video up there because then he goes on to make this joke about, I'll bet somebody in the back room is sweating bullets. And that's kind of like getting a little on the edge, and then he repeats it a second time. And I think that was his way of sending a message to the back room that somebody back there better be sweating bullets. And it's a lack of grace in the public face that I think we need to be concerned about. I took my little voice stress analyzer, and I ran that statement through there. And when he's talking and he's convinced he's got everybody fooled and bamboozled, his stress is very low. But when he's talking about somebody in the back room sweating, the stress level definitely went up. And I think if you watch this very carefully, you're probably going to come to the same conclusion that I did. That his facade of being calm and in control and in command is wearing very thin. And that he is potentially very close to losing his temper in certain conditions. And that's always a very dangerous thing, because when I lose my temper, you know, coffee cups get broken against the wall of the office. When a president loses his temper, people die. And I think we're beginning to see the cracks in Obama's facade, that he's not as in control as he likes to pretend. And I think we basically need to keep a close eye on that. Now, meanwhile, even as the American media continues to say, oh, there's a terror threat, and Osama bin dead for a while is out there, you know, and he's plotting to come into your home and tear the tags off your couch cushions, or whatever it is that Osama bin dead for a while is supposed to do that we're not supposed to like. European politicians are continuing to come out with statements saying there is no reason to be hauling, you know, calling a terror threat right now. And they're beginning to actually go public and say, Obama is doing this for political advantage going into the election. Well, duh, we kind of knew that all along. You know, Bush was doing it, and now Obama is doing it. It's the same old dirty trick. But there is no terror threat. There's a phony video coming out of Rita Katz's Site Intelligence Group, probably produced by Adam Gadon, aided by Yusuf al-Khattab, otherwise known as Joseph Cohen. It's all fraud and fake to scare you into keeping the same government. You don't change horses in midstream. You don't change your Congress in the middle of a war or a terror threat and so forth and so on. And it is. It's another hoax. It's another absolute hoax. Now, I want to talk about this story that is breaking where, we're almost to the end of... I got enough time to talk about this. It's a story that came out today, basically where the CIA has been outed for waterboarding Khalid Sheikh Mohammed 183 times. The new part of the story, because we knew he'd been waterboarded before, the new part is it's a, up till now, unknown torture center. Another one in Poland has been exposed. We'll be right back.
It's true.